We're open for business live.
Good morning. It's just after 9 o'clock on Friday, the 9th of January, 2015. My name's Jamie Veitch. I'm your presenter for the next hour for Sheffield Live's business show, Business Live, broadcasting live on 93.2 FM and through our internet live stream. And the show will also be available as a podcast later from the website. In today's show, we have interviews with live studio guest Peter Lodeman, who's a coach and management consultant. He's going to be talking about some resolutions for businesses and social enterprises in 2015. And with Joda Allen Booth, who runs Visualized It, a production company based in Barnsley and working with clients all over Sheffield, the region and nationally. But before we turn to our guests, some business news. Startups across the world are being encouraged to give 9 minutes of their time today to support Micro Biz Matters Day, a new initiative organised by Enterprise Rockers to celebrate micro businesses, businesses with under 9 employees. Enterprise Rockers have organised this in partnership with Sage One and Google, and the day is including a live stream of Google Hangouts throughout the day with well-known entrepreneurs such as Pimlico Plumbers founder Charlie Mullins and the first ever apprentice winner and founder of the Bright Ideas Trust, Tim Campbell, alongside Tony Robinson OBE, who is the co-founder of Enterprise Rockers and has been a guest on this show in the past. The day is intended to highlight the contribution that independent business owners and the self-employed make to the global economy, to job creation and community, and that startups and established entrepreneurs are being asked to spend 9 minutes today doing something to help micro businesses, whether that's sharing tips on Twitter to a conference call with a new business. You can find out more about Micro Biz Matters Day at microbizmattersday.rocks, and you can get involved with the initiative today on Twitter using the hashtag microbizmattersday. Yorkshire Bank's chief executive, David Thorburn, is going to leave to allow new leadership ahead of the proposed flotation of the business. Mr. Thorburn was also the chief executive of the Clydesdale Bank, which together with Yorkshire Bank formed the UK's banking division of the National Australia Bank. Thorburn commented that a 5-year commitment was required as National Australia Bank looks to exit the UK market and has decided that the time was right for him to leave. NAB has previously confirmed it was preparing a £2 billion plus flotation of the Yorkshire and the Clydesdale banks. Mr. Thorburn had originally joined the Clydesdale Bank as a graduate trainee. Back in 1978, he became the Chief Operating Officer for the Yorkshire Bank in 2004 and then took on the role as Chief Executive in July 2011. He's commented that he believes that the business requires a 5-year commitment, particularly as NAB, National Australia Bank, looks at operations to accelerate the exit from the UK banking business. And he felt this is a significant undertaking, so he's come to the view it was in the best interest of the business to stand down and allow an injection of new leadership to take place. Local businesswoman Rachel Solway, who runs a fair trade fashion website and has been a guest on this show, is now going to employ survivors of human trafficking in the UK. You can catch an interview that we did with Rachel just before Christmas. If you go to the Sheffield Live website, find this show in the shows section, sheffieldlive.org, look up shows, then click on Business Live, and find the last show of 2014 from the 19th of December. We interviewed Rachel and asked about her partnership and her campaign, Stop the Traffic, and her work with Destiny Rescue. Rachel now has raised enough money to rescue the first child traffic victim in just 2 months' time. And she's now going to employ survivors of human trafficking here in the UK. Now, as ever, I welcome your views and the business news. If you want to get in touch, comment about the news or get in touch to suggest people who you'd like to hear on the programme talking about business, micro-enterprise, social enterprise, starting or running an SME, any topics, any advice you need, any people who you think are inspirational, you want us to get them onto the show, please get in touch. You can get in touch by email on comp@sheffieldlive.org, by text message to 07904 272 200. Find us on Twitter at Sheffield Live, and you can find me, Jamie Veitch, on Twitter too. Whether you're starting, whether you're running a business, whether you're self-employed, if you're an employer, we're keen to hear from you. Turning then now to our first guest of the day, Peter Lodeman, who's been on the show before a few months ago and was introduced by me at the time as a consultant, a coach and an adventurer because of his work in Ethiopia and work supporting people in self-employment and coaching people in Ethiopia. Peter, thanks very much for coming back on the show again today. Good morning. Now, as a coach, as a consultant, as someone with significant experience in business, I wanted to bring you onto the show today to talk about New Year resolutions, what New Year resolutions businesses should make, and how they should ensure and enable themselves to keep those resolutions. It's time for when many people will be reviewing last year and looking ahead to their goals. So what resolutions should businesses make?
I think in terms of businesses, it's not so much that they will make resolutions. They have plans, or hopefully they have plans which are 1, 2, 3, or 5 years. And it's very important they stick to those plans if they really, really believe in them. I think who will make resolutions are the individuals within those businesses. And we all, as you said, make resolutions at certain times of the years, whether it's birthdays, anniversaries, the beginning of a month, or New Year. New Year being obviously the one we're talking about at the moment. And there's a lot in the press at the moment, watch and research by behavioural scientists talking about resolutions and how to make them stick. And I found in the past, with myself or other people, is to actually make these resolutions really easy to do. So they become they're easy to make into a habit. If they're too hard, if they're too big, if they're too difficult, you're going to get depressed, you're going to get negative, it's not going to happen. So individuals within businesses, whether they're leaders, managers, whoever, need to make a resolution that's easy to achieve. So as an example, you may want to say, I want to engage more with my staff. I want to hear their voices more than what I do now. So something that you could simply do as a leader is manage by walking about. Every morning, you could spend 10, 15 minutes as a routine going out and talking to people. And to an extent, it doesn't matter what you talk about. You're engaging. And as time goes on and you do it more and more often, then people will start telling you things. You build up a trust, you build up a rapport, and it becomes a habit, and it's really easy to do.
And what you're talking about here, when you say make it easy to do, make it easy also to become a habit so that
it
becomes part of every day or every week.
Yeah, at first, while you're creating that habit, you can make a diary entry with yourself. It's a meeting. But over time, once you start doing it, it just becomes second nature.
And business owners and managers and people running businesses or people running divisions in businesses, as you pointed out, they're the people making the resolutions and individuals. How best should they take stock of their successes and their failures and then perhaps identify and critically address their weaknesses?
Yeah. Well, as a leader, you could go and lock yourself into a dark room and thrash yourself about a bit and beat yourself up. Probably not the best thing to do, really. Once again, I think it's about listening to the other people. And if you take the end of the year as a temporal moment of change, and when people reflect on what has happened, that is a time for me to actually start engaging with people and listening to the people, where it's your subordinates, your managers, and the team members, the individuals who work for you, but also your clients. So create a space for them to give you open, honest feedback. And it's for leaders, it's your opportunity to listen, because you don't know everything. You can't be expected to know everything, but you do have a pair of ears and you can listen and make it. You know, if you've got a trusting environment, you can make that happen. There's lots of tools that you can use also. As a consultant, you can do a SWOT analysis, strengths, weaknesses, opportunity, threats, and other tools, Johari Window, Pestle Approach. There's lots of things. Just Google it, and it's there. But it's all about open communication and listening to others.
I think that's critical, isn't it, in terms of listening? And you've talked there in your answers to the first two questions. First of all, making yourself perhaps accessible as a habit that people can do, going around and talking to people. And secondly, actually asking people for feedback. Now, that's laudable, and that's something that very good leaders will often do.
Mm-hmm.
But even for the best of leaders, sometimes it's then very difficult for them to deal with that feedback and perhaps to implement it.
Yes.
Particularly those leaders who are feeling overwhelmed at the best of times,
mm-hmm.
With significant amounts of responsibility. Everyone expects, and I'm perhaps slightly playing devil advocate here, but everyone expects said leader to solve all of their problems. How do those leaders get into the habit of then dealing with that feedback? So they've asked for it. Rather than feeling overwhelmed if there mm-hmm. are issues that they need to solve in their business,
yes.
and they've asked people to be extremely frank, how do they then move from there into addressing the weaknesses of the businesses or the opportunities the business needs to address?
Yeah, it's once you've got that feedback, and it can be overwhelming, it can be really depressing, you know, if it's a big list of negatives that you've built up, then that's really hard. But while you're getting that feedback, it's not just about the negatives. It's also about the strengths as well, and feeding on those strengths. You know, don't get down with all the negativity. That is good feedback. You take it on board. And some of it might not be right. Some of it might not be justified. You know, we all have people who work with us who are just moaners and naysayers and negative people. But it's important to sit back, reflect on it, and then work out a plan of where you want to go and align that with the goals of the business. You probably, when you start out with a business, at some point you've set out goals for the business, a vision for the business, what really matters. So align the feedback with your vision, with your goals. Work out which ones you need to change, which ones you need to work on. With the people around you, you do not be on your own, and you know you may be a one-man band, but then you look around you and the resources, the networking you do, the other people that you can refer to, and get help yourself.
So make it a collaborative process.
Most certainly, yeah.
And collaboration and learning and helping and getting others to help you is a topic that has come up frequently on
yes.
this show,
yeah.
and that many leaders who are very, very effective clearly go out and seek help,
yeah.
whether it's consultancy or advice, whether it's coaching, mm-hmm. whether it's mentoring. And
yes.
we'll come on to perhaps the attributes of a good coach mm-hmm. later on in the interview today. But I think
yes.
that's a really, really important point you've made then about collaboration
yes.
there. Great. Now, one thing that you and people working in your field will help businesses and business leaders to do is to clarify not only their goals, and sometimes goals are perhaps the easiest thing.
Mm-hmm.
I want to increase turnover from 1
yeah.
million to 2 million, or I want to increase the number of widgets sold, or I
yeah.
want to increase profit mm-hmm. By X percent. I want to prepare the business for sale, whatever. But as well as goals and the clarification of those, you help people to clarify their business's vision and their own vision and their values
yes.
and those of their business. Values, we've talked about businesses with values, again, quite a bit on this program, but can you tell me a bit about the process of helping a business or a business owner or leader to clarify their vision and their values as well as their goals?
Yeah. When I start working with a business, and it doesn't really matter what size the business is, one-man band, SME or a large company, I try to get to the people making decisions and why they are running that business, what's important to them. Because if you're an owner of a business, your life is not detached from your business. The decisions that you take in your life or in work affects both sides. And so I really try to understand exactly what is going on for that leader. Once I've done that, the next important bit is to engage with the team. Because you can have all the best systems in the world. You can have the best processes, et cetera, et cetera. But if your people out on side, if they don't believe in what you're doing, it's not going to work. So I actually engage with the whole team and understand what their vision is, where they think the business should be going in, what, say, 5 years, where they sit inside that business. So I'll run workshops with, depending on the size of the team, how many we need to do. And quite often, the actual leader won't be in that workshop because they'll influence the conversation. I was running this process with a small accountancy firm recently and saying, and asking the team, what do you think is the vision for this business? And the actual answer that came out for everyone was from a 17-year-old apprentice who said they want to be the best accountancy business in that region.
And this then was what everyone signed up to.
Yeah, that's what everyone signed up to. Yeah.
And an interesting point there about perhaps the trust and the faith in their team that a good leader can have,
yes,
to allow you to then work with their team, but not to get in the way of that process.
Yeah, and that's why me building up that relationship with the leader at the beginning is really important.
So they trust me to engage with their people.
In a way that's not going to impact on them or what they want to do with the business. Yeah.
And that process then, it's not a short-term fix. Obviously, by bringing you in, there are some things that happen reasonably fast once you've built up that trust, but there are some things that happen in the medium
yeah,
term.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that initial bit is obviously crucial. It's fundamental to the success of where you go from there. Once you've got that vision in place of where the business sees itself, the blue sky thinking, you've got the business objectives, the goals, how many more clients you want to get, what turnover you want to get, all that sort of thing. And what's also important is understanding the mission. And the mission is, what's our purpose? What are we here to do on a daily basis? How do we make a difference to our clients' lives? And that mission is equally as important as the rest of it.
I'm glad you've brought that up, because I talked about vision, values and goals, and I conspicuously missed mission, which is linked entire picture.
No, almost certainly. You need to understand what you're doing every day. Why are you in business? What are you actually trying to achieve? And as I say, what difference are you making to your client's life? And then the values is really the behaviours that get you to achieve your mission and your vision.
So
what's important to you? So it's trust, respect, it's integrity.
Yes.
Yeah, it's all of those good things that make up a good person. But then you've got to follow through in your daily behaviours.
And I suppose we've all noticed some businesses, large and small, that talk about specific values, but they talk about them and one isn't necessarily convinced. And we've all also noticed plenty of businesses where it is absolutely clear that the values are utterly embedded in the business.
Mm-hmm. I can give you an example of one where those... So about a year ago, I was working for a major global investment company, a company that turns over billions of dollars. So it's an American company.
Yes.
dollars every year. And they have they've written up this great 5-year strategy of what they want to do. And
around the buildings, you'll see posters
or doing this, doing that, blah, 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 blah. However, you never see any leaders or managers during the day because they're constantly in meetings. And when I say meetings, it's back to back. There's no break in between. And so that whole plan, that whole strategy, really isn't going to work because there's no figurehead. You don't see these people who are actually pushing this. You just see posters around the place.
Interesting. So that strategy then, you feel it's perhaps doomed to failure?
They're just going through the motions and you're just putting the posters on the wall, but actually there's no one living it.
And that, I suppose, is crucial for the leaders of the business.
Yeah, they're the example. They're the ones who are pushing it through, yeah.
Okay, great. Well, I want to return to this in a few minutes. This is an absolute fascinating topic, and I want to unpick some more of your expertise. But before we do that, we're going to play a quick track of music. This is a track by Nigel Kennedy, and it's from his East Meets East album. It's Nigel Kennedy and the Croak Band, and it's One Voice.
We're open for Business Live.
You're listening to Business Live on Sheffield Live, broadcasting on 93.2 FM and from sheffieldlive.org across Sheffield and the world. My name's Jamie Veitch. I'm joined in the studio by Peter Lodeman, who is a coach and a consultant working with businesses, helping them to meet their goals and, of course, to clarify their vision, their mission and their values. Peter, we've unpacked quite a lot of really interesting stuff here this morning about businesses, about accessibility of business leaders, about achieving their ambitions through setting themselves realistic and achievable goals and embedding new habits. I want to talk about what is perhaps the most seemingly overambitious goal that a business that you've worked with has then gone on to achieve, and how they've actually done that. Something that perhaps has seemed sort of stratospheric in its ambition, but because they've got the process right, because they've perhaps listened internally, externally, they've clarified how they're going to do this, they had a clear plan, they've done it. What's the most seemingly overambitious goal you can think of?
When I was working in Ethiopia, I came across a small corporate communication. Creating videos, newsletters, etc., to help businesses promote themselves. And they, this was just a husband and wife team who had real expertise in making videos for businesses. Their goal was to become the go-to business in East Africa, not just Ethiopia, but East Africa. So you've got, I don't know, at least 10 countries there, Tanzania, Somalia, Ethiopia, Sudan, Kenya being probably the most well-known one and the most advanced country in that area. But they wanted to be the go-to business for corporate communications in the area. Part of that, and a big thing about measuring a vision and measuring and a goal, is actually measuring it. How do you measure your success? How they were going to measure it was becoming the go-to organisation for all international businesses looking for corporate communications in East Africa. When I started talking to them, although their strengths were making videos, they thought they had to do everything. So actually create stationery for people, the ability to provide video screens for their potential clients. So they were actually adding a load of products, but getting away from what their real strength was. And I think the analogy I gave them was Steve Jobs, who, when he joined Apple had, I think, 300 plus products. He took it down to 10, the 10 that Apple were really good at. And so this business, which called Impala Communications, they were building up this product range, which was just getting silly. And there's just two of them plus some other people. They then narrow it down to just probably four products, and the main one being making corporate videos. Now they are the go-to company business for international companies working with people like Heineken, UNICEF, World Bank, who go to them in Addis to produce the videos for them.
So that clarification process and that process of really, really focusing on what was going to be play to their strengths, be the best product they could offer.
Yeah.
That really did obviously have a major, major impact in terms of this pretty ambitious goal.
Enormous. Yeah.
And a good analogy again that you make there with Apple. Plenty of companies have grown by sort of expansion into all sorts of new products and product lines, but plenty of companies have then found that the profit and the business success has really come by focusing on what they're absolutely best at. Yeah. Interesting as well, of course, to hear yesterday's news of a certain major retailer, which is now closing some stores that are unprofitable and closing, well, not even going ahead with certain stores to focus on perhaps what they see as the core of their business.
And we know that supermarkets, that market is just so intense, and people like Tesco's the same, so he's being squeezed in the middle.
Yes.
And, you know, having to understand what they offer their clients.
And that sort of understanding, so you're actually offering something that your clients want rather than what you think they want.
Yeah. I mean, listening to clients is obviously really important, and you get customer surveys and all that sort of thing, but just it's important to make it easier for the client to give their feedback.
And then listen, don't just get that
feedback, but listen to it, understand what it means, and then act in a meaningful way. Yeah.
And that then, I suppose, takes us on to that attribute of listening and then acting in a meaningful way. Takes us on to what are the attributes of a good and effective, not only a good and effective business leader, but a good and effective consultant to businesses or coach. No, those are areas of your work in terms of working with businesses. We've also talked about mentoring of businesses on this program a lot, and business people have come onto the show and talked about how that has been, having a mentor has been really valuable. That's very distinct from a coach and very distinct from consultancy. Now, given your focus is on working as a consultant and on working as a coach, can you talk to me about, aside from listening, which I think is probably the first thing you'll say, the other attributes of a really good, effective coach or consultant?
So for a coach is really giving the power to the client to make the transformation in their life. They're not there to advise. They're not there to suggest. They are there to listen in a non-judgmental way. They're there to challenge why that client is being negative, not doing what they've set out to do, but putting the power with the individual, the client, and listening. Well, listening is important to all of the skills, whether it's mentor, consultant, or coach, and it's a poorly used skill that we all should have, I think. So a coach does not advise. A mentor is most definitely all about giving advice. They are passing on their experience to their apprentice, their potential protege, and quite often get used in succession planning or where there's someone going up the corporate ladder, maybe joining the board for the first time, which is quite daunting. The mentor can take them through that process and act as a real role model for that individual. A consultant, on the other hand, will have some sort of specialist expertise in whatever industry it is in. They may go in there as project manager. They may go in there to build a new business model, change the organisational design, evaluate systems, implement a new system, or deal with regulatory change. I mean, regulation is just coming out from all over the place at the moment. If you understand that regulation, you can talk to the business and explain what are the potential impacts the business is going to have on their business proposition. Where do we take it from there? And that's what a consultant does. It's very specialist expertise.
And how then should a business or a business leader decide? Well, I think perhaps in terms of how they decide what they need, having unpacked what a coach, mentor and consultant does, that's going to be helpful for them to understand. How do they find the most appropriate mentor or coach or consultant for them?
So initially you make the choice. So do you want to change people? Do you need to educate, instruct, mentor people? Then it's going to be a coach or mentor. If you want to deal with changing the business transformation, new systems, whatever, then you're looking at a consultant. You may be fortunate to find someone who can do all three, which is great, especially if you're a small business, because you don't want to be employing a whole new set of people to do all of those things. And very much part of my business is doing the consultancy in terms of changing systems, etc., but also coaching the people within the business. To find the right person, word of mouth referrals is always the best way, because then you know you're getting a good testimonial. The other probably growing source of referral is LinkedIn. You know, everyone puts their CVs, their experience on LinkedIn. You can search on LinkedIn, and that is a great place to go. Certainly, you could Google, but, you know, that you're just going to get masses and masses of stuff. LinkedIn, you can do a more specific search and find the right person. Talk to your network, find out from your network, and what you're going to Google are associations, so Association of Coaching, and various entities like that, or, you know, trade magazines if you want to be find a specific consultant. So there's loads of places, but LinkedIn is key, I think, now.
LinkedIn's key, and also, of course, with LinkedIn, you can see not only endorsements, but also recommendations against the person.
Exactly.
And you're probably connected, maybe second or third degree, to someone who you could bring into the business to help you, and then part of your process of getting the right person for you can be asking people you know about that person, as you say, referrals.
Exactly.
Really crucial.
Yeah, yeah. And in LinkedIn, there may be someone you're trying to find, but don't be concerned if you've got a connection who knows them. Ask them the question. Ask what they know about them. You know, that's the power of LinkedIn.
Fabulous. That's been really helpful advice, Peter, and thank you very much. And sadly, we're going to have to wrap this up very, very shortly, because we're going to be bringing in Joda Allen Booth on the phone in a moment. But as I say, that's been really helpful for advice for our listeners to this programme. I just want to wrap up by asking you the most helpful pieces of advice you've been given in your career.
Yeah, very, very. Trying to get up the corporate ladder and started doing some project work. I think we've all found that as you're trying to change things within the business, you'll come across the negative people, the people who are trying to drag you down. And so the piece of advice that I was given, and I can't actually say the whole sentence on a 9 o'clock radio show program, but it was, don't let them get you down, and you can fill in the...
We can fill in the word.
And... And so, which is basically saying, persist, you know, have tenacity. If you really believe what you're doing is right, keep going, and gather people around you who believe in the same thing, the positive people which you can feed from to help you succeed.
Brilliant. Don't let people get you down, the negativity get you down, if there is that there. Find positive people, work with them. And be persistent. Great advice there, Peter. Thank you very much. Now, if people want to find out more about you, of course, they can find you on LinkedIn, Peter Lodeman. They can also visit your website. The website address?
My website is www.lyft.co.uk. LIFT stands for Live Your Future Today. So go there, or LinkedIn, as easy as anything. As well.
Yeah, find you on LinkedIn, Peter Lodeman. Well, Peter, thank you very much for joining me today. We're going to play a track of music that you've chosen now, which is the Toy Dolls, Nelly the Elephant. Why did he choose the track, Peter?
Because I think whatever you do, you've got to have fun. You've got to put a smile on people's faces. And if you can do that, then you're more likely to succeed.
Fabulous. Peter, thank you.
We're open for Business Live.
You're listening to Business Live on Sheffield Live 93.2 FM and sheffieldlive.org across Sheffield and the world. My name's Jamie Veitch. I'm delighted now to bring in Joda Allen Booth, Director of Visualised It Limited. Joda, good morning.
Morning, Jamie. Happy New Year.
Thank you, Joda, and Happy New Year to you. Did you have a good one?
Yeah, it was brilliant. It was just nice to have a break, to be honest.
You've been working flat out last year. Some of our listeners will remember you from being on the show before. You've come and talked about the process of video production. But you had a bit of an accolade shortly before the close of 2014, a letter from the House of Commons, I understand.
We did. It came through the post, House of Commons on the front, and it was a commendation from... the MP, Dan Jarvis, who's our Barnsley councillor.
Congratulations. So what was Dan commending you for?
It's for the work that we do with disaffected young people in Barnsley. So he wrote a lovely letter saying about how times were really challenging for young people, about high youth unemployment and intense competition for jobs. and basically thanking us and commending the work that we do to try and help those in danger of dropping out of school, and the ones that have unfortunately already dropped out, providing them with further opportunities. So we were really, really proud.
That's absolutely tremendous news, Joda. So what's your process then of working with young people who are in these situations? What has made your process different to what other businesses, if they are trying to do this, are doing? I mean, some just don't bother at all. But, you know, how do you work with these young people?
Well, the business has two sides to it. Obviously, we produce videos and animations for companies, and that's very corporate. Alongside that, we also deliver video production and animation qualifications, and we aim those to young people that are struggling with traditional education. So schools basically come to us and say, we have tried all different methods with this group of students, and we're hoping that something a little bit more creative, like video production, might engage them, and we tailor the course to see to basically suit those individuals, depending on who they are, and they're from a range of backgrounds.
Brilliant. And you've talked about then how the corporate strand of the business, of course, making corporate videos for clients, say Bonzi, NBC, through to large corporates, and people can see on the Visualised It website the type of businesses you work with. Now, your actual process of delivering corporate films, corporate videos, again, that's an area of business which is fast changing, developing very, very quickly. Again, what's your approach that's leading to Visualised It in terms of success? And what tips would you give to people starting businesses and things that you wish you'd known when you were starting out and you do know now?
I think for businesses that are young, like we are, I think it's really important to not set expectations that you can't meet. So there's a lot of pressure sometimes to make yourself look as though you're a big company and that you're rolling along with all the big companies, and you're not. You've still got a lot to learn. You might be, like we are, very confident in video production, and we've got years of experience. But as far as business is concerned, that is something that you're always learning. I learn every day something new about business. So we try not to make out that we're bigger than we are. If projects come in and they are too big for us, then we hand them over or we bring people in for support. I think the biggest issue that you have with small companies is sometimes they don't know when to say no, they don't know when to ask for help, and they create expectations that they then can't meet. And I think that's key. Make sure that you can do what it is that you're saying you can do.
That is really, really good advice. And I think for a lot of people running businesses, it is very, very tempting to take on work that is just that little bit too big. And you've made the point about continuing to learn. You're experts in video production, but learning about actually running a business. We've been talking on this programme this morning about coaching and about consulting and about businesses developing. Where have you found to be really useful sources of advice or of learning or of support, whether that's coaching, whether that's mentoring, whether that's consulting? What's been helpful to you?
I make the most of everything that I've got. I'm somebody that creates opportunities. I don't wait for things to come along. So when I started to think about running a business, I spent 6 months researching first. And we're very lucky in Britain because there's only a few countries around the world where the government actually provides pots of money to support business growth and to support enterprise. That's not something that's available all over the world. So within my research, I found quite quickly that every council had some level of support. So in the very early stages, I approached Rotherham Council. So I spoke to Rotherham Youth Enterprise. In Sheffield, I spoke to the Sheffield Chambers, and they had an enterprise support scheme as well. And in Barnsley, I work with Enterprise in Barnsley, and I've got an absolutely amazing lady that supports me, and she's Emily Anderson. And she's basically my go-to lady. So if I've got any questions about business, I speak to her. If there's workshops that the Chamber are putting on, I work with Barnsley and Rotherham Chamber of Commerce. There's always lots of workshops and networking things that you can go to. And probably one of the biggest ones, because we're based in the Digital Media Centre in Barnsley, is bobbing in to other offices and just asking a question. There's some brilliant companies in our building that are very creative, very successful, that have been running for a really long time. And when I see them in the corridor or when we're making a cup of tea, I ask them questions. And that's literally it. There's support is available. You just have to look for it and be honest enough to ask for support when you need it.
I'm really glad that you've run through that process, because that has been an absolute picture of, first of all, positivity in terms of your attitude to the fact that there is support available here in the UK, and that businesses are lucky to have that available and can draw upon it. Secondly, an absolute demonstration of the power of going and talking to people and getting involved and surrounding you well and being positive yourself, but having this sort of attitude to seek advice and to seek help and to learn from others. And that obviously is really, really working for you and for Visualised It. And it's obviously an ongoing process as well. And but also it sounds as though it's a process where you're now giving so much to the young people who are benefiting from working with you.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I treat business very much like I treat life, and I believe very much in positive energies. And I think that if you keep giving as much as you can, and in your day-to-day being, whether that's at work or at home or with your children in whatever way, if you're giving out positive energies and you're being pleasant and you're helping people out and you're trying your best to do a good job, I think that will always come back to you. And I think people... I try to stay away from people that I find negative. If they're quite draining or very pessimistic, they're not people that I choose to be around, they're not businesses that I would choose to work with. So I think if you're just always aiming to have a positive approach and try and make things better, try and help people out, then it will always benefit you, I think, in the long run.
Well, that's tremendous, and I think that absolutely resonates with the advice that my previous guest, Peter Lodeman, has given in terms of the most helpful advice he's had in his career in terms of don't let negative attitudes or people who are being negative bring you down. Get yourself surrounded by people who are positive. Obviously, you're doing the hard work. It's not just built on faith, hope, and optimism. It's clearly the foundations are a solid hard work here. And Joda, congratulations on being recognised for the work that you do in terms of supporting young people as well. And of course, I wish you all the best with 2015 and another fantastic year for Visualised It. Can you flag up the website for our listeners, please?
Yeah, of course. We're at www.visualisedit.com.
Superb. Well, Joda, thank you very much for joining me this morning.
Thank you for having us, Jamie. See you later.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
FM and from sheffieldlive.org across Sheffield and the world. My name's Jamie Veitch. I've been joined this morning by Joda Allen Booth of Visualised It and by Peter Lodeman, who's a coach and consultant helping businesses. Now, if you've just tuned into the programme and you've missed what we've had on earlier, you can find the show on the podcast section of the Sheffield Live website, which is sheffieldlive.org. Go to shows, click on Business Live, and you can click on the podcast of today's show. It'll be up at about midday today, Friday 9th of January. Or, of course, if you want to listen to something else now, you can find the last show we did before Christmas, the 19th of December issue, which was included a number of really, really interesting guests. Now, next up on Sheffield Live today is our fantastic folk music programme. Thank goodness it's folk. That's on from 10 a.m. through to noon, so stay tuned for that. And, of course, we'll be back next Friday from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. And one of my guests next week is Jackie Neal of Abbey Forged, recently voted Business Person of the Year in the Sheffield Business Awards 2014. That's Jackie Neal of Abbey Forged. She'll be joining me next Friday on the show, so tune in, please, for that. We're going to play out now with a track by Massive Attack, Unfinished Symphony.